Hello, it's Andrew from XO Capital, and today I wanted to talk about negotiating a micro SaaS acquisition. So this is just the way that we do it. This is our style. You're probably going to develop your own over time. Feel free to steal or modify these as needed, but let's get tactical. So number one, price. If you buy something for a great price, it's probably going to be okay financially for you guys. So that's the number one thing we recommend is find a price that works for you and just stick to it. There's plenty of fish in the sea. If you don't get this one, you know, there's going to be something else that comes along. Of course, if you see a once in a generation opportunity or you're seeing something else that nobody else sees or whatever, feel free to deviate. But generally speaking, we find a price that works for us and it's just a financial decision. So make sure your heart's not getting in the way and make sure this isn't an emotional decision. But yeah, we just pick a price and we stick to it. We try and shoot for a 2-year payback period. We try and pay between 2 to 3x ARR, sometimes less. Less is good. Less is awesome. But if we pay more than that, you know, it's going to be tough, or that's a hard deal for us to say yes to. Generally speaking, the speed is fast. So if you're having a bunch of back and forth with a seller about price and this deal point and that deal point, drop it. It's just probably not going to work out. It's probably going to be complicated. This might indicate actually that the seller is kind of a pain in the ass to work with and just kind of drop it. Our best deals are, you know, a couple back and forth about stuff. Then we go into diligence and that's really it. We do not build fancy models justifying the difference between a 2.3 multiple and the 2.6 that they're asking for. If you find yourself having those conversations, I think you're already in trouble. So again, just pick a number, say this is what works for us. You know, if it doesn't work for you, totally understand. That's literally like our go-to phrase when we are doing these over email. And initially, honestly, we try and get to a price before we even hop on a call with them, because we want to, at a high level, make sure that we're in the ballpark. And then we try not to, when we go into diligence, use that as a weapon to bring the price down. We try and out of the gate say, this is what we think the business is worth. And then we try and stick to that price as we go through diligence. So tactically, we generally put two offers on the table. One is a lower price. So we'll do more cash up front, or maybe no seller financing or all cash. And that one's like a lower overall price, or a higher price option, which is less cash up front and more seller financing. But of course, the price, the entire price is higher. It's okay if your initial offer is a little insulting relative to their asking price. Oftentimes, people that have never done this before, especially founders, that this is their first time going through something like this, which is most people, they are expecting a kind of TechCrunch-like exit to a strategic at a 10x valuation, when in reality, it's most likely going to go for like 2 to 3, maybe 4, to someone like us. And that is often very difficult for these founders to get their heads wrapped around. And frankly, it's not your job to convince them what the market rate is. They're going to have to discover that on your own, right? You are not an impartial third party in this situation. And so your role in trying to educate this founder, it's just not going to end well. And it hasn't ended well for us when we try to educate somebody through this process. I mean, sometimes they'll ask us for opinions on certain things and we can give out, or we will try to do our best to give out some helpful advice, but frankly, again, you're not an impartial third party in this transaction. And so you are actively trying to negotiate for a lower price. And so that's just something they're going to have to either go out and learn on their own or come to terms with. And oftentimes that happens, especially on Acquire, right? You list something, we've sold stuff on Acquire. So when you're selling something on Acquire, you put it up, whatever, it takes a week to get approved. And you'll initially get like an influx of people that are interested. Now, generally speaking, again, from our side as the buyers on Acquire, we have to request access. Now they have this stupid thing where you have to sign the NDA or they have to sign it and then auto sign. It's all this like stupid stuff that frankly, I hate that they put that in there. It just introduces a lot of friction and needlessly. So again, from the seller's perspective though, they're getting a bunch of requests, right? So let's say they get roughly 50 people that they think are interested. Okay. 40 of those are just want to see what the domain is, to look at the website to find out that this is not a good deal for them, or the website sucks in a bad way and there's nothing they want to, they don't want to touch this thing with a 10-foot pole. The way that they lay out the listings in Acquire is also like a little strange, and it's just very difficult to know what the hell the business does. So my very first thing when I get access is just go to the domain, read the landing page, make sure I understand what they're trying to do or what the business is supposed to be doing. right? Because sometimes that's not clear from the landing page, especially in like a vertical that I know nothing about. But yeah, and so 40 of those 50 are just tire kickers that are never going to put in an offer. So for you as the seller to like follow up three times with each of the people that have requested access, like all of that stuff is useless. Generally speaking, the people that are going to be putting in an offer in are going to A, need a little bit of time because they're probably like us looking at a bunch of these every week. And then B, they're going to come back and actively ask for more info or actively ask for a meeting, et cetera. If you're trying to gatekeep data and need or require us to go have a meeting before we can see your P&L, that's probably a non-starter. Like it does nothing for you to get us on the call for us to just say, yeah, hi, I'm Andrew. We just really need your P&L to like look and make an offer. Can you just send that, right? Like that doesn't need to be a meeting. And a lot of times founders, for whatever reason, feel like they must get on a call with you before they release some of this information, which I think is stupid. It slows the deal down and it's just not helpful for anybody. When we get farther down the line, or maybe even before we get an offer, we might want to get on a call with you to clarify certain things. But again, even that, for deals that are like making less than 10K of MRR, most of this, if not all of it, can be done just over email. Moving on to reputation. If you've done a couple deals, like let the seller know that's important to them, that you can actually like close a deal and you've done this before and you can get the thing done. So we've done 10 before. We have a pretty good reputation with the Acquire.com brokers now. So they know us, they know we've done a few deals, and they know that our deals, when we put something in, is actually real. And so that's been helpful. Like for example, when we got Growth Bar, that was really helpful for the sellers to know that like, hey, these guys are real, like the money's real, they've done a bunch of deals, we know them, they're good people, et cetera. So if you've done it before, flaunt it. And again, just keep it simple. I mean, some people love complexity. There's a lot of smart people in this industry, and man, are they really loving these fancy Excel models, but we just like to keep it super simple. So even to the extent that founders or the sellers will keep any kind of equity, we don't do any of that. We keep it super clean. We just do 100% acquisitions or nothing at all. Plenty of people deviate from this. We don't. One concept that we came up with early on for particularly small acquisitions is the concept of a churnout. So I'm sure you're familiar with the concept of an earnout. So if the business like, you know, hits certain milestones in growth, then the founders get like extra kickers and stuff. That's a typical earnout. A churnout for a business that's like, let's say doing less than 10K of MRR, it hasn't been around very long and churn is pretty high. What we will do is sometimes put in place a churn out. So we'll have a lower overall purchase price, but if the MRR stays above a threshold, then they'll get like a bonus or something like that. That's a way for us to buy younger businesses and lower some of our risk. Not everybody agrees to this, but typically once you explain it to people, and again, see above, after they've gone through 50 offers and realize that, you know, 46 of them are actually not interested in this thing at all, they start to become more amenable to structures like this. Number 8, remember you're human. Just don't be an asshole. You know, you're just dealing with people. You're probably going to encounter some of these people again. Just don't get a bad reputation. You can be firm and also be nice. And then it's also tempting to get into a bidding frenzy. I'm sure some of you were tempted during the past couple of years in terms of like buying a house or something like that. I'm in LA, so we saw this all the time. Very easy to get caught up in a bidding frenzy and just say the highest number to quote unquote win. But this business might be in your life for the next couple of years. And seriously, price is a huge determinant of how well an acquisition performs. So that's sort of how we navigate the micro SaaS negotiation. There's really nothing that fancy. It's just really, really straightforward stuff. And people tend to respond pretty well to this. We definitely get a few middle fingers. That is actually the most common outcome of after we make them an offer. They'll usually send like, you know, in so many words, like the middle finger emoji. And then again, once they realize that all of the buyers have evaporated after a couple weeks and they've heard from other people too, that the valuation is not going to be 10X or even 5X, it's going to be lower than that, then they tend to come back and say like, okay, let's chat. And that's how we've got, I'd say that around maybe, let's say 6 out of 10 of our deals have been through this kind of structure where we get in or the thing's been sitting around for a while and we just say, this is kind of what we're thinking in terms of offer. And then we take it from there. But that's it. Happy hunting.